Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. And I'm restarting for people on video. They got no audio. Boy, see, this is where I need a producer. But anyway, in this first hour, I'm going to talk about current events and news. And in the second hour, I'm going to continue where I left off last week. And we were talking about, well, and I posted the video yesterday on my blog, but it's been on YouTube for a week. And we're going to talk about, let's see, what are we going to talk about? Let's see, apocalyptic beast symbols and Bible decoded. Yeah, we want to get these Bible decoded, not decoded by some other method. And we were talking about a specific author last week. And you'll be interested. What I meant as constructive criticism was immediately taken as an offense. But then when I visited his website, I saw some construction going on. So I believe it had some effect. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. And what I've been working on all week, which is decoding, trying to make it more simple for people to understand apocalyptic beast symbols, starting with the symbol of the beast and all of the associated symbols like the sea, the earth, the heads, the horns, the crowns, all those things that are associated with a beast power is what we're going to discover and decode using God's word only and without looking at, because I think that's where a lot of people make an error. They look into history, which I believe the author we were talking about did, look into history and see a bunch of people repeating something that is not supported by scripture. And then it gets repeated down through history and you go, well, all these people can't be wrong, can they? And they go, well, yes, they can. If they're repeating something that is in error. So anyway, we're going to look at some news. And let's see what our news bag has here. Okay. Yeah, I'm just too busy trying to get things in order for the broadcast. I lose all my news that I've been looking at. I guess I need to start making a list and get a little better organized. Yeah, I'm still doing producer stuff. Okay, everybody hears me. Everybody sees me now, right? Yes. Get some good positive sound checks there and we'll be doing well. All right. Get to my news here. Oh, yes. And I have this. Fact checkers are nothing new. They have just taken on a different form. From the Catholic Church's Inquisition to ban books, we can learn a lot about where big tech censors are taking society. And I have this from Sovereign Man on censorship and heresy. And, you know, whether he knows it or not, let's see if I can get my, yeah, whether he knows it or not, he's hit onto something when he brings up the Inquisition, because that's what it was all about. The Inquisition was to check and make sure that you were, politically correct with the powers that be, which was, the beast that ruled, or let's say, for 1260 years under papal rule, that beast was controlled. And they'd burn books if you wrote the wrong book, and they might even burn you with your books. That happened more than once or twice. As a matter of fact, over 1260 years, hundreds of millions of people died for being politically incorrect. So more than 400 years ago, the author says, in the year 1615, the Catholic Church hired 11 expert consultants and asked them to review the scientific work of Nicholas Copernicus. Copernicus, of course, was the one who one of the first scientists to propose that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the universe. Hey, you know, I realize that he picks this because he believes it to be true. A lot of people believe that heliocentrism is the truth. But the fact is this, okay? I believe in geocentrism because I believe the Bible. But the fact is, if I didn't have the Bible, okay, and all I had was a thesis by, say, Copernicus and others, or the opposite thesis by Tycho and others, I would have to say that they are both hypotheses because neither can be proved. I can't prove by observation that one is right and the other is incorrect, especially if you make a model and you say, well, the only difference between these two models is which one you believe is at the center. Well, at the center of what? That's what I have to say. At the center of what? Well, of course, I believe the center of our solar system is obviously the sun. But how about the center of the universe? Which one's at the center of the universe? And that's, I think, that maybe the more important question. But you can have the same model. It just depends. Everything works the same, whichever model you have, except one puts the earth at the center and the other puts the sun at the center. Okay. Now, in the universe, the distance between the earth and the sun is so small in infinity that it matters not to the universe, which is at the center, because they're such in such close proximity when you compare it to the infinite universe. Okay, so I'm going with geocentrism because I've read the Bible and that's what I believe. The fact is there have been experiments conducted to prove that the earth is moving. And see, I don't think the earth is moving around the sun at X millions of miles per hour or whatever it would have to be. I think the earth is really at the center. But like I said, it's all hypothesis. Nobody can prove anything. They have tried, okay? But nothing to no avail. They've tried to prove that the earth moves, but they cannot prove it. So it is only theory. But anyway, we'll continue on getting off on another track and reading this article by Sovereign Man here. Copernicus, of course, was one of the first scientists to propose that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the universe. But even though Copernicus had been dead for more than 7 years at the point, his ideas still lived on and were being advanced by none other than Galileo. Galileo had published his own research with compelling evidence that Copernicus was right. This view of the universe conflicted with church teachings that the earth was at the center of the universe. Now see, even the Catholic Church gets a lot of things right, okay? Even the great apostasy gets things right. Because otherwise, you know, if they weren't mostly right, well, then everybody, the gig would be up if they were wrong about everything. So even an apostate organization has to be right most of the time. But I digress. So the Vatican decided to settle the matter with its panel of expert fact checkers. On February 4, 1660, the fact-checking committee issued its final report to Rome. The earth is clearly the center of the universe, and any other view constituted heresy. Now, I don't believe that belief that the earth is not, but the sun is the center of the universe. I don't consider that heresy. I consider that just choosing one hypothesis over the other. That's all it is to me. But they constituted heresy. And they constituted a lot of things heresy. Like if you didn't believe in transubstantiation, that was heresy. If you didn't, Well, if you didn't believe in purgatory, well, that was heresy. If you read, you know, a Bible in your own language and not Latin, then you are a heretic and a schismatic, especially if you taught out of a Bible in your vulgar tongue, be it English, German, whatever your vulgar tongue was, because it wasn't Latin. You know, because of course, the apostate church with and the head of it having the number 666, the man in charge of it being a Latin, they Latinize everything, and anyone who didn't go with along with their Latinization of everything, well, they were heretics, and many people burned at the stake. Genocide was committed over and over again for 1260 years. Hundreds of millions. You can kill hundreds of millions of people in 1260 years. But we know that's an easy feat because even since the 1260 year reign of the Antichrist ended, hundreds of millions of people have died. You know, just in, the intrigue created by the Antichrist and his shadow government, which rules the world today and even ruled and moved things around during the period between when it lost its 1260-year overt reign and up until today. The shadow government that works for the Antichrist is very much in control, has regained full power and full reign over the whole earth. Only, as the scripture puts it, people will wonder, and you wonder, what's this guy talking about when they see the beast that was, yeah, everyone saw it, what it was when it reigned for 1260 years overtly, is not, and yet is. Mm-hmm. So what does that cryptic apocalyptic language mean to us? Well, it means exactly what's going on right now in the world with that beast power. It was. Everybody knew it was. For 1260 years, you knew it was because it was burning Bibles and people and literature and committing genocide and making everybody conform to its belief. It was, but now is not, yet is the condition that it is in. Because everybody looks at it today and goes, nah, it's not, they don't rule the world. they don't believe it, you know. Well, after all, everyone knows now that the Antichrist isn't going to show up until the last 7 or 3.5 years. So it can't be the Antichrist who's ruling the world right now and doing everything that we see going on around us, you know, with the big V controversy and trying to get everyone to participate in their transhuman jab. But I say, you know, just like the Borg on Star Trek, they say resistance is futile. I say resistance is not futile. We need to resist the Antichrist Borg transhuman jab. I don't want to be part of a perverted mankind having my genetic code changed in, you know, without remedy. I mean, how do you go back from that? You don't. So the fact-checker's assessment ultimately helped convict Galileo of heresy later in his life. His works were banned, was threatened and tortured, forced to recant his scientific conclusions, and spent the last 8 years of his life under house arrest. It was a very sad ending to the life of a man who contributed so much to the world. And perhaps a sovereign man needs to learn a little bit more about the true atrocities. House arrest, he got off easy, let me tell you. And probably the only reason he got off easy is because this was about the same time that, let me check that. Nope, this was later on. But yeah, they had the Reformation in full swing at this time. By that time, they had invented what most people believe today, which is dispensational futurism, you know, putting the Antichrist off to a 7-year period in the future. Vatican bureaucrats would go on to ban works by many other scientists, philosophers, including, and he includes some others here. We're not going to get into that. But anyway, Sovereign Man always has interesting articles. He does this once a week. He puts out a list of things. Let's move down his list. He has a few more interesting things here. Let's see. Podcasts. Ooh. The V, Freedom in an Unfree World. And, you know, I'm just, we're using V. Everyone knows when we're talking about the V, what we're talking about, right? Yes. Let's see. Okay, I think I'll skip the podcast. Friday Roll-Up. Oh, this isn't the one I was looking for. Judge removes child from mother's custody because she has not received the V, the vaccine. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I think what we'll do there is move on to some different items here in our list of news roundups. Let me check the chat room. Carrie Ann says, yes, the earth is at the center. And I believe that myself, especially when I look at the stars and I see the sun going around. Like I said, it's the same model when you model it out on paper or physically. It's just which one is at the center. And so it's only hypothesis unless you believe you have a higher word from a higher authority, which I do believe. And, you know, people can even dispute it because I have a post on my website. It's called Flat Earth or Spherical Earth. What does the Bible say? And so if you check that out, you just put Flat Earth in the search box on my website and you'll find that article. But I briefly discuss that argument there. And you could even argue from a biblical standpoint that the Bible is speaking symbolically when it says that the earth shall not be moved, okay? In the same way that I say that I shall not be moved. I'm speaking not physically, I mean not literally, in the sense that because I'm moved all the time. But I'm, as far as my beliefs, I shall not be moved, or my faith shall not be moved. So, it can be used in that way too. So it could even be debated, either way by the scripture. You see my point. I'm not trying to tear down anybody's firm belief in this or that, but I don't think it's an argument that's all that important. Now, whether the earth is flat or not, the Bible says that nowhere. You can't uphold that by the scripture. And I believe that's just a device that the enemy has used to discredit God's word in the world. Okay? Just like a lot of other things. Let's see. Tom says in the chat room, and if I am driving 70 miles in my truck, am moving faster or slower, suppose it depends on the direction of travel. Well, yeah, there's a hypothesis now. Is the earth spinning? I don't believe the earth is spinning. It's like I'm going to go with Michelson and Borley experiment. These guys, they were out to prove that the earth is spinning. And so they conducted their experiment and they called it a failure because they couldn't prove it. Of course, for those that are geocentric and non-spinning earthers, we would say their experiment was a great success. Yes, indeed. You don't do an experiment to prove your thesis. You do an experiment to find out if your thesis is true or not. Then you accept the result. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, well, welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Okay, we were going to jump into some news here. And we were looking at Sovereign Man a few minutes ago, but now I'm going to jump over to, we're going to talk about the real news of the day, which is always the real news of the day. And that is the Big V. And I have some articles here from a favored website, recognizing the obvious. It's funny how the obvious doesn't seem to be obvious to half of the world out there, but it is to those that know the truth and have their eyes wide open and have ears to hear and eyes to see. Hard data from Israel reveals the failure. Okay? Now, one of the most, successful nations in the world on distributing and jabbing people with the V is Israel. But now they're having the largest outbreak, and all of that, most of that, is among those that have been jabbed. So what are they doing? Well, if something doesn't work once, you try it again. And if it doesn't work twice, because they recommended it twice in the beginning for certain ones, but now they're saying, well, if that doesn't work, as a matter of fact, not only if it does it not work, but it's worse, because those who have received it are shedding, like, I don't know, what did they say, 150 times more than those who are unjabbed. So they say, well, do it again, three times. So now we have boosters going on, and I guess it's going to be boosters forever, because those in charge, the big money people, we can start with Bill Gates and go down from there, and everyone under his spell and everyone that having to do with that, they want you to do it again, because they want you to, they get all this money, of course, from the governments, because no one has to pay for the jab, because it's free, because they're already stealing your labor every day and discovering more ways to steal your labor every day, so that they can funnel billions of dollars to these rich people who are getting even richer, and more billionaires are being created all the time. So, hey, now they're talking about a new one every 5 months or something like that, until they kill everybody off and get the population down to where they want it. That is really what's going on. And of course, we're talking about, I don't care what all you dispensationalists say, and you don't want to believe that the Antichrist is alive and well, and you say, well, we can't know who he is until the restrainer is taken out of the way, because the restrainer is the Holy Ghost, and we wouldn't be here if the Holy Ghost wasn't here, because you None of that could be supported by the scripture. None of it. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next hour, not specifically what I said, but about supporting our interpretation from the scripture only, and realizing that if we can't support it from the scripture only, then we try to exclude it from the scripture. And if we can't support or exclude, then we say, well, it's only hypothesis. It's something that could possibly happen, but may not happen. See, that's when it's hypothesis only. Now, if the scripture supports your interpretation, then you have something that is explicitly stated in the scripture. But we'll get to that. That's coming up next hour. You'll want to stick around for that. So, recognizing the obvious, hard data from, and, you know, anyone who has any questions about it, look at the data from Israel. Poor, poor Israel, you know, not God's chosen people or God's chosen nation. 70 weeks were determined. The 70th week is when the Messiah showed up. When the 70th week is over, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentile church as well. See, they were exclusive. They were national Israel. And that reminds me of this post that I posted during the week. If you haven't seen this yet, you'll want to check it out. Let me see. If you scroll down from my, go back to, oops, two posts down, you'll see this one with this picture here. It has a menorah on one side, and then it has Jesus. This is a picture of the depiction of the revelation. But you have, in the menorah, you have depicted the national church rooted in one nation, the Old Testament. Okay, the Old Testament church, the church that began in the wilderness, as Paul called it, the church in the wilderness, when he was speaking of the nation of Israel when they were in the wilderness. But they were the national church. They were rooted in one nation. That's Old Testament. Supranational church. This is what's going on today, depicted by the Revelation from the very beginning. You see the seven independent candlesticks, one for each church. So the supranational church, independently rooted in Christ, New Testament. So, and a good article there if you want. You'll enjoy that, I hope. But I call it Reformed Torah. You'll find that interesting. But when I got this idea for these two photos here, sometimes a picture, in this case two pictures together, says more as much as an article. Sometimes it's kind of like an aha moment. When you see a picture, you can read about something, but then when you're able to picture it, envision it, it becomes quite a bit clearer. So anyway, back to our news here. So, but nonetheless, you know, here we are. The truth is out. And instead of going, wow, this isn't working, we got to try something else. They're going, wow, this isn't working, we need to do it again. Yeah. We need to do it again. You know, it's like treating ants with poison. You know, you treat them, they go away, the poison wears out, and the ants come back, you do it again. Okay, because it's only temporary. But this is something altogether. They're kind of using the wrong logic here on what's going on. You know, it's like, I guess, attributed to Einstein. You know, insanity is where you keep doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. That's what is going on here. The world is going insane. And it's going insane on purpose, because it is by design. Yes, I hate to burst the bubble, the people out there that think that all those rich people that have all this money and are developing all these things and control the world and the government, they have nothing but your best interest in mind. And part of your best interest in mind is reducing the population down to, oh, let's say 500 million people. That's in the best interest of everybody, except for those that have to be eliminated, you see. Yeah. But they're still carrying on their project regardless. But it's in the best interest of mankind. It's in the best interest of the earth. This is how they think. This is how the Antichrist and those that are with him, that are his puppets, this is how they think. Of course, they don't know that they're being used by Satan and his demons and working for the Antichrist and his shadow government. Most of them have no clue of what's really going on because they're blind. They can't see. So, ramping up of medical terror and totalitarian, V measures. That's what it's all about. We're going to keep doing it. The insanity must continue until we get, they keep pushing it regardless of the truth because half the people can't see the truth and they're going to try to kill the other half anyway. But the hardest ones are to kill are the ones that will not comply. The ones that go, resistance is not futile. See, because it isn't futile. They say they could kill me. So what? I'm going to die anyway. Yeah. And I'm sooner to my death, even if I lived, to be an old man. I'm closer to my death than I am far away from my birth. So anyway, let's see if someone has something to say here. Please speak. You're on the air. I gotta hand it to this caller. They are persistent and probably one of my most reliable and faithful fans. Gotta spin this the right way, you see. Hey, they're here, the guy's here, or whoever it is, a girl or whatever, they're here every week, checking my phone to see if I'm really hearing live, I guess, or that I'm real. So, ramping up of medical terror and totalitarian V measures continues. And these articles that I'm, these headlines I'm reading are from LouRockwell.com. Excellent source, for good libertarian, are we anti-government? No, we're just anti-totalitarian government. I very much lean libertarian. In other words, leave us alone. Let us live our own life. We want individual liberty. My body, my choice, things like that. Yeah. If there's another body involved, then, they have a choice, or at least they need someone to stand up for them if they can't stand up for themselves. You see where I go with the body, my body, my choice thing. So if you're waiting for a V mandate to stand up for yourself, you're waiting too long. I've already taken my stand. It's not going to change. I've been standing all along ever since the beginning of this thing. I went along with 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I have to admit, I thought, okay, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Cause I thought back, that God commanded Israel, to take a camping trip, to leave their homes and their cities and go out into the wilderness for 8 days. And of course, the 8 days didn't include travel because they went from Sabbath to Sabbath. So they had to travel the day or the days before and travel the days after to get back. So you're talking 8, 9, 10, 12 days, depending if you add all the travel in. It was a couple weeks, practically speaking. And I thought, well, they survived, so I guess we could survive a 2 week vacation. And everybody could just take a vacation all at the same time. We're having a national holiday. And then we can do 2 weeks to flatten the curve. But, as long as we get back to work, if it works, then the curve's flat. And if it doesn't work, then we don't do that. See, because we don't do something that doesn't work expecting it to work. That's the insanity part. But the world decided on insanity. Trump broke his word and decided to lock down the world. And the economy started calling people, unnecessary. And, well, you know, then take it from there. And then now we got a real pro as imposter in chief in the White House. So we got a real pro in there now. I mean, a guy who could, you know, get more votes than anyone in all of history from his basement. My, you got to be something to pull that one off. Yeah. Whew. It's like, you know, we're in good hands now, really good hands. If you thought Trump was bad, yeah, this guy's really bad, you know. It's because bad is good. You get it? Yeah, wicked is not wicked. Wicked is good now. So the world's gone upside down. So if you're waiting for a V mandate to stand up for yourself, you're waiting too long, because when the mandates come, well, a lot of people are being mandated, quitting their jobs. So good for them. I stand with all of those. And you know, the people that are waiting and will continue to stand after a mandate are the ones who are standing now. They may be silently standing now, waiting for a mandate to really, but we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Yeah. I don't think we're ever coming back from this, because I believe that the Antichrist by 2030, that's the agenda that they're pushing through the image of the beast, you know, the UN 2030 agenda. Yeah. I think by then they want to have Mark of the Beast inquisitions where everyone will be required. And this is all just a warm up. They're kind of moving it and seeing, you know, but they're not going to back up from this. They might back up here and there, you know, but I think it's going to be full on 2030 by the time they get there. I mean, look at how far they're getting. It's only 2021. This all started 2020. By 2030, they want it bad. And I believe this is their final push to get it on time. Let's see. Illuminati and the depopulation agenda. Thank you for that, Smoke. The entire future's fallacy hinges on who the he is in Daniel 27. Read all about that. We know who the he is. The he is the Messiah. That's right. There is no way, and there's no gap that has to be added in. You got to read my book. The book is called Reform Prophecy Interpretation, or if you want a primer on it, I have a couple more books out there. It's one, they're kind of the same book. One's just an update of the other. And that one is, where is it at? Oh, yeah. When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. And I say I believe that they want to pull the rapture play off so that they complete the 7-year play by 2030, meaning that they're going to get this Temple Mount thing, this Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount by 2023. That way they'll be able to complete the 7 years and totally overthrow the most people's belief in Bible and Bible prophecy by 2030. This is an Antichrist shadow government project. This is how they roll. You want to know how they roll? Just look around and survey the last year and a half, and you'll get an idea of what they've been doing much more slowly over the last couple hundred years. Okay? But now it's full speed ahead. You know? Yeah. Full speed ahead. Let's see. Wordsworth is talking about 927. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's left out of the newer editions. I don't know about that, Smoke, since I find the Geneva Bible a little too hard to read. And plus, I want to use the authorized King James Version because I have my tools, the Strong's Concordance with it, and I can look into the original languages, you know, the received text, and without making the mistake that the Strong Concordance is the Word of God, because it is not. There's even some things in there that are not quite right, but still, you can use it and see where that Greek or Hebrew word shows up elsewhere in the scripture And that way you get your definitions and meanings from the scripture itself. And that's how I use the tool. I don't just run with whatever Strong says, but I can look up, you can use your tools to put in the Hebrew or the Greek number and see where that same Greek word or Hebrew word shows up everywhere else in the text. And then you get your meaning from that. And then you got to realize a lot of things are context-based, so that meanings, the same word in Greek and Hebrew can take on a different meaning in different contexts. You have to understand all these things. Nobody said it was easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? Okay, well, what else we got? We got a few minutes. I'll see. So New Zealand has completed its transformation into a full-blown police state. Yes. And, you know, I was looking they're really cracking down in Australia. But then I've heard on a few occasions, but not very often, that the rate of those that have received the V is very low. It's like 20% in Australia. And I'm going, wow, they're doing something right. It's like they say 70% in America of those that are, that qualify. So that's anyone over, who qualifies now? Is it like 12 and up or 21 and up? Or, they say 70%. I kind of have a hard time even believing that number is true. I think that number is overblown likely, or 60% or whatever. But when I heard Australia's rate, I think I heard 20-something percent, and I thought, well, that's true. No wonder they're cracking down, because those people are not complying. Yeah. So, from the news, it sounds terrible. Let's see, where was that article at? I was looking at another article. And I like this one here. This was on, let's see, I'd have to turn on my desktop audio for you to hear this one. But I don't know how many of you heard this one, but I thought this was pretty cool. Let's play it.
We call mass vaccinations the only path to a return to normal. Worrying health officials who call mass vaccinations the only path to a return to normalcy. Almost 4 months into the vaccination effort, providers are beginning to run out of people who want to be immunized.
Yeah, that's where this guy's, this news this newscaster says they're running out of people who want to be euthanized or vaccinated or something like that. Anyway, that was, I guess it's hard to hear. The audio is very low, but just have some people listening to it and turning their heads. Yeah, pretty crazy stuff, man. Anyway, let's see what else. We're running out of time this hour. Like I said, next hour we're going to get back into prophecy in deep. So if you like diving deep into prophecy, you want to stick around for the next hour. Because that's what we're going to do. So New Zealand, Australia, and that was the other article I was looking for but didn't find. And I don't want to do two hours of news. It's all the same thing. A strategy for defeating the V narrative. And, you know, we must defeat it. Resistance is not futile. We must resist to the very end. And continue to resist. But, you know, what's even more important than that is because all your resistance, which could lead to your death, evidently, especially if the Antichrist gets his way, which apparently, according to Bible prophecy, eventually does before Christ returns, and he'll start his Mark of the Beast Inquisitions. And, then a lot of people are going to die. Yeah, they're going to be beheaded for resisting or refusing or rejecting the mark of the beast. And no, I don't believe that if you receive the mark of the beast, that you have no chance to refute, reject, and to stop using it. It's unlikely that would happen to you, but it's not the unforgivable sin. Because Jesus talked about, he named one unforgivable sin, and that was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And there's a whole debate about exactly what that is. But I believe that if you refuse or won't allow the Holy Spirit to work repentance in you, well, then that's unforgivable. That's the unforgivable sin. And that's my conclusion as far as blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's saying things, but I think there's certain things you couldn't say unless you had already blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because there are challenges where people are challenged to blaspheme the Holy Spirit publicly, and they do. So, you know, maybe they're only doing publicly what they've already done in their hearts and in their minds. And so they're already damned to hell forever. But I believe that the people can inadvertently receive a mark of a beast. I got one person out there who believes that if you get the jab, you've got it. But how about those that got it involuntarily? Those that were had it done against their will? Yeah, got to make allowance for them. Okay, you're listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is Prophecy Reality, and we're going to return. And like I said, we're going to go in deep on prophecy. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, this entire hour, or two segments, we're going to jump back into prophecy and the discussion we began last week when I was reviewing this article. Well, not the one on the screen. However, if I change the screen, this is the screen from last week. You can see there's me last week. Do I look a week older? Anyway, you can see up there it says, the Earth Beast of Revelation 13 are the Jesuit generals of Rome. We go back to the same page this week, and it says, the Earth Beast of Revelation 13 is led by the Jesuit generals of Rome. Wow, now there's a thesis I can agree with. 100%. The one last week said something different. And then when I read the article last week, it said the same thing. Okay? Kinda. It didn't make any sense. Well, he changed the, I guess I had some effect, because I meant the show last week as constructive criticism toward this man and his article and his belief, because he states things And the best support, the best evidence he has is that other people repeated the same thing a couple times in history. And men of renown repeated it. You know, very famous men in the past have repeated the same thing, but none of them ever went to the scripture and said, aha, here it is in the scripture. But they repeated this idea that the earth beast is a division of the Roman church, and also the earth beast is the false prophet. And he was saying that the earth beast are the Jesuit generals of Rome too. So he's saying all of these things, none of which can be supported by scripture. As a matter of fact, from my study, the scripture excludes all of those conclusions. So I see the article pretty much looks exactly the same. I haven't read the whole thing, but I read the opening of it compared with the screenshot I just showed you, and it says the same thing. You know, we talk, many people teach that the earth beast is America, but the four beast, and that's a non sequitur because the fourth beast of Daniel has nothing to do with the earth beast of Revelation chapter 13. Okay. So, and then he's got some links, and this is all the same thing. And after two sentences that make up two paragraphs, he gives a summary, which says something totally different. It's not even, you don't summarize. you don't have a summary that's longer. This summary is five sentences. What he's summarizing, the two paragraphs before it, are not even five sentences. Is less than five sentences. So the summary is longer than what he's summarizing and really is not a summary, but it's a thesis. It may be a summary of his thesis or something. I don't know. And also he removed the indentation. Remember I spoke about, what's all this indented stuff? Is he quoting someone? Well, you see all the indentation is gone. So I guess this is all his own stuff. It doesn't look like he's quoting anybody because obviously he wasn't, even though it looked like he was. So, and hopefully, well, he'll keep working on it and clean up more than just the title of the article. And I want to help him. That's why I'm writing on my new thesis, which I'm not going to release until I'm done. And we find that I'm writing it on WordPress here. Let me switch over to that. And here it is. As you can see, it's draft apocalyptic beast symbols. And let me open it up. Bible decoded. We want to use the Bible to decode our apocalyptic symbols. Let's see, can I close that side window there? I don't know if I can or not, but I can do this, so I can make it wider this way. Okay, and so I'm going to share with you what I got so far. I'm pretty happy with it. It takes a long time to write a little bit, but I'm hoping, and what I'm going to do, this is going to be part of and parcel of, I guess, my next book or booklet. This one will probably only be about 100 pages because I can't draw things out and, you know, quote other people and write whole books just quoting other people and to make it 400 pages and get way past my point, you know, to try to impress people by the volume of stuff that I can put in a book. No, I want to impress people with how much I can say in, to help them understand without overloading them with information and obfuscating the fact, or forgetting, you know, getting my, thesis lost in a sea of facts and other quotes and stuff. I don't know. Seems to be a way of writing that some people prefer. Right? So, anyway, I start out, apocalyptic beast symbols, Bible decoded. Okay? That's very important that we're going to use the Bible to get our interpretation. Okay? I just used decoded because that's the word, my my inspiration is this guy who writes all these decoded books, even though I think he's not doing, he doesn't say Bible decoded, it's just decoded. And I think his decoder ring is broken, or his Rosetta stone is not a true one, but maybe a counterfeit. That's a joke. Yes. So much about this symbol, and specifically speaking of the bee symbol, and I had to change that to the bee, these symbols, is assumed and believed with very little biblical foundation. Certainly God has explicitly used this symbol, or these symbols, to represent what he reveals in divine interpretation. Divine interpretation is only what the Bible itself explicitly reveals as an interpretation in the context of any apocalyptic symbol used. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, divine interpretation. It's because I'm very interested in divine interpretation. That's the interpretation I'm going for. You won't find that in a book of speculation, which is mostly what future is. Futurism is speculation. Divine interpretation is only what the Bible itself explicitly. It's not what you can conjecture. It's not what you can conjure out of the Bible using conjecture. Conjecture and conjure are kind of closely related. So divine interpretation is not what you can conjecture by unrelated verse out of the Bible, okay? But it is only what the Bible itself explicitly reveals as an interpretation in context of any apocalyptic symbol used. And for instance, you can go to Revelation chapter 1, and it says, "And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches." Okay? That's a divine interpretation of the symbol being used, the symbol being the candlesticks that Jesus is walking amongst. Okay? The divine interpretation says that the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So we know that when we get to a candlestick being used as a symbol, and then, you know, there are a lot of symbols like that. So what we're looking for is a divine interpretation when an apocalyptic symbol is used. And there are plenty in throughout Daniel and the Revelation. There are plenty of there's plenty of divine interpretation. There is enough divine interpretation given by God himself in the scripture that we should be able to get a fairly clear understanding as men as to what the prophecy is about. And nobody's going to have a 100% clear understanding. We have to accept that right off the bat. But how clear can we get? Well, only if we are looking at the divine interpretation, not making it up, not getting it from unrelated or non-apocalyptic scripture. Sometimes it can apply if it's a symbol is not apocalyptic, and sometimes it can't. We have to be very careful there on making that kind of determination. But if it's explicitly like the example I just gave you, okay, and there are plenty of those throughout in the context of apocalyptic prophecy given in the scripture that we should know, especially concerning the beast and the related symbols, the symbols that are related to the beast. So moving on. For instance, in Daniel 7, and specifically this, for instance, having to do with the beast symbols. Okay. For instance, in Daniel 7, quote, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon," unquote, four governing authorities are introduced as various beasts or animals. The first was like a lion. That's in a quote. Quote, "The first was like a lion," unquote. Quote, "A second like unto a bear," unquote. And the third, quote, "like a leopard," unquote. And, you know, I want you to know that these phrases are actually in the text. That's why I'm quoting them. The fourth, and quoted here, it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. We also learned that these 4 great beasts came up from the sea. When we overlay Daniel chapters 2, 7, and 8, these 4 powers are revealed as Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, describing them as kingdoms and using the word nation. History verifies that these 4 and different powerful nations individually rose up in the Western European locality of the Old World. Okay, so we use history too, because history is reality. History verifies that our interpretation is correct. And this actually did happen. The prophecy was given. These nations did exist, but the sequence of events related to these nations was not fully fulfilled at that time or at separate times. Because chapter 7 we get when Daniel is under the Babylonians. And then, I believe, chapter 7 is when we're under the Medo-Persian Empire. And, of course, So, because that's why it starts out with the king of whatever nation he was in when he wrote that chapter. So let's continue. History verifies that these 4 and different powerful nations, okay, those nations being Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, they individually rose up in the Western European locality of the Old World. Babylon first conquered Israel and assimilated all of the nations around her on its rise to power. And you can read about that in the scripture. We have that with the fall of Babylon. I mean, with the fall of national Israel, the destruction of the temple, and the beginning of the 70 years desolation period in the history of Israel. Babylon first conquered Israel and then went and conquered all of the nations around her. Then the Medes and Persians came in, and God judged Babylon by the Medes and Persians. Okay? The Medes and Persians then conquered Babylon and assimilated all that it had conquered. Alexander the Great, in his turn, took everything for Greece. When Alexander died, his kingdom was divided between 4 of his generals. So Alexander on the ram, was it a ram or a he-goat? One or the other. Let's see, the lion, a leopard, a bear? No. It was, anyway, he had a singular lamb. The ram had a singular horn, and it was broken off, depicting the time when Alexander died, and then the kingdom was divided, so 4 horns came up in its place, because the kingdom was divided between 4 of his generals. Out of one of those divisions of the Roman Empire being divided into 4, okay, or of Alexander's kingdom being divided into 4, the Roman Empire rose up, then conquered and assimilated the whole of Western Europe. According to the divine interpretation given in context with the prophecies, along with the witness of history, we verify the meaning of the beast symbol and the associated symbols attached to it. So here we're going to number them. This is what we've learned from divine interpretation, and as we've seen it played out in history, history has verified it. Number 1. Specifically speaking of the 4 beast powers that are enumerated, they all dominated the Israel of God. And moving on, before Christ, national Israel, after Christ, the church, the supranational Israel of God, because this last beast extends into the New Testament era, beyond the national church, beyond the 70 weeks that were determined for Israel and the nation and the sanctuary. Okay? So they all dominated the Israel of God, all these beast powers, before Christ, national Israel, after Christ, the church. Okay. Apocalyptic prophecy primarily has to do with beast powers that are concerned with and interact with God's people. I guess I have that under number one also, but it could be number two. Just trying to enumerate some facts here, that what we learn about beast powers. Okay. Two, each beast power, as it rose up, had power over a specific locality identified as an individual kingdom or nation. They were original powers when they rose up. Three, each of the enumerated four sea beasts of Daniel conquered and assimilated the people and territory of the beast before it, having risen up from the same locality, the symbolic sea, Western Europe. This is verified by history itself. Then later, divine interpretation at Revelation 17:15, as the waters on which the whore sitteth, the whore that rides the beast, so where the beast is, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So the waters are sea, that's what they represent, in contradistinction to the next beast, the seventh beast, and final beast that rises up, okay, which rises up out of the earth. But we're not going there yet. Joseph, glad to hear it. Glad to meet you there in Rome. He says, I want to own four volumes or Apocalyptica hardcover. I drifted into the site link offered, but came away uncertain of the experience. I'm not certain I know what that means. But if you wanted to buy them, they are available. For those that want a copy of those, go to horeapocalypticae.com. And yes, we are still fulfilling orders at that site for the full four-volume set. You can get it in paperback, and you can get it in hardcover. And we offer, if you buy either the paperback or hardcover, we offer the ebook free with that. Or you can just buy the ebook version. So, and we email that to you. We don't have, that's not all automated, but yes. They do. It's a new edition. I call it the quincentennial Reformation edition, or the 500th anniversary edition of the Reformation. And yes, it has all of the updates and they're all noted in there. But, I believe you'll find it an enjoyable experience. It's all been vetted and typoed, and you'll find very few errors in it. So, anyway, you can check that out. They're definitely worth having. And you can read it for free there, you know, to make sure that's what you want. Although, on the site there at horeapocalypticae.wordpress.com, I don't have all of the appendices in there. So, but I do believe I have 95% of the text of what you will be buying if you actually buy it. Some people might think, well, I don't have to buy it. It's free on the internet. And yeah, that's true. You can see I'm not trying to scam people for money. But some people like to have it in a library. Perhaps when the internet goes down, you might want a hardcover or paperback copy of it, just for your own reference work. But either way, do enjoy that there. But the entire revised and quincentennial edition version is there at horeapocalypticae.wordpress.com. Okay, well, back to our text here. So we got to the sea symbol, and the waters, our peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Number five, the sea symbol represents the locality where these individual beasts rose up. In this case, Western Europe. Five, none of the succeeding sea beasts were a division of any of the ones before them. Now, this is very important when we go to a site like the one I was talking about last week or at the beginning of this broadcast. None of the succeeding sea beasts were a division of the ones before them. They only assimilate when in the same locality. They do not divide into another beast's power. Any division is noted by the addition of horns on the beast. Okay? So we see there are rules there for interpreting. One, they don't divide, they only assimilate. And in this case, when they're in the same locality, they all rose up out of the sea. So there is something different about the seventh beast that rises out of the earth. They don't have to assimilate, but we'll get to that because it's not out of the same locality. But any division in a beast is not noted because he's trying to say the earth beast is a division of the Roman Empire. Therefore, it can be the Jesuits, which never had a locality over which, you know, like the other beasts that rose up out of that locality of Western Europe, they each had their own locality where they had their power base, where they rose up with a nation and then conquered more and the nations around them till finally Rome conquers the entire Western European continent. Okay? So any division in a beast is noted by horns, not by dividing into another and new beast and diminishing the one before it. That just does not happen. So I believe that's where the scripture excludes that interpretation. We'll continue when we get back from some messages. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're getting into beast powers here and the associated symbols with a beast power. We're looking for a divine interpretation. And by divine interpretation, I mean what the Bible explicitly reveals. And of course, if we can verify that in history for that which has already been fulfilled, we can add the history to that. And go, yes, you know, because everything that God said would have already happened has already happened. And of course, that which is yet future, well, we're still waiting. We can't verify by history something that hasn't happened yet. So anyway, you can check out the Horae Apocalypticae, quincentennial, and here I I have a complete set of those, the four volumes we have that we published, spent a couple years myself and Richard, and pray for Richard. He's been in the hospital for almost a month now, and he needs your prayer. I found out that I don't exactly know. They said his kidney shut down or something, and I have no idea what's going on there. I haven't heard anything from Days, but anyway, I keep praying for him anyway. But together, he began it by spending thousands of hours editing, and then I finished the work by reading it through twice myself and doing the updates on it. And out of much of the work that I had been doing, and it also helped to clarify much of the work that I have done since then in my Reform prophecy interpretation and my exposition of the Revelation. So, but those are available. You can go to horiapocalyptica.wordpress.com, and if you press on, there's a book. It says purchase the volume, the four volume set there, and you can purchase it there. All those links, it's through PayPal, or you don't have to have a PayPal account because you can use a credit card with PayPal, but you can get it there. And I will, within 24 hours, I will process the order, and it will be in the printer and on its way to you as soon as they get it printed. So that's how that works. But you can read it all. I said like 95% of this text is there. You can see I have contents volume 1, volume 2, volume 3, and volume 4. And it's all there. The only thing that isn't there is the history of apocalyptic interpretation, which I printed separate, so it would be a supplement. So, because he put it in the appendix of volume 4, but I thought it was a great standalone work, and I've read it several times, and of course I had to read it several times to publish it and do all the corrections and stuff. Because when you're going from a PDF to a Word document, you have to look at every word. Otherwise, you end up with a mess. And I didn't mind doing it because I wanted to read it and I wanted to know it. And so reading it more than several times has been a great boost to my knowledge of history and scripture and the apocalypse and interpretation. So, yeah, take advantage of that if you can. It's all there for you. You don't have to buy it, but if you want it for your library, it's there, and this is the best version you're going to be able to buy anywhere. But you can see all the updates that I put in it. I had to rearrange some of the chapters and some of the volumes, too, because, you know, E.B. Elliott had the seventh millennia beginning at the end of the 19th century. He thought he was that close. So when he made a mistake and he had to put some things that were yet future into the past. And that's where the errors that we're talking about that people are repeating, that's where they came in. So, and perhaps would have made the same errors myself, likely would have. But, you know, history moves on and prophecy is unveiled as history moves on. Okay, we're going to jump back into, what we're talking about when we left. We're on number 4. None of the succeeding sea beasts were a division of any of the ones before them. They only assimilate when in the same locality. This is what we learn from divine interpretation. They do not divide into another beast power. Any division is noted by the addition of horns. Now, so we have kind of a rule here. This is what divine interpretation reveals to us. So someone could say, well, you know, but couldn't it happen separately, if differently? Well, yeah, I guess it could happen differently. Your interpretation is viable, but it is not supported by Scripture. And I believe that God is not going to do it differently. He's not going to give us a divine interpretation. He's not going to reveal everything that he reveals us to us about beast powers, then introduce another beast power and somehow make it totally different than what he has determined beast powers were before. It's not going to go from beast powers that start over a certain locality on the physical earth somewhere represented by the beast or by the sea or the earth or where, you know, because we only have those two localities where these seven beasts rose up. Now, we know that four of them rose up out of the sea, and we know one of them rose up out of the earth. And so the scripture names, you know, names four, tells us where five of them came from, four out of the sea, five out of the earth. But if there's seven, well, then there's a couple more that are unnamed, as well as one that rose up out of the earth. We don't know. It's, the name of it is not given in the scripture. So that kind of leaves it open. But it doesn't leave it open for us to say, well, now a division, not only a division, but an order, a priestly order of the apostate church is now a beast power. See, I don't think that we're open to make that determination, because none of the beasts that are divinely interpreted and revealed to us in the scripture were that. They all rose up over a certain locality on the earth. Even the Roman Empire rose up at Rome, being the city where it rose up and the locality around it. It was an original power in the earth that rose up over a specific locality. And then it came to conquer the whole of Western Europe. Okay? And that's true with all of the four named beast powers. So to come along and say, well, that's not necessary for this new beast that rises up out of the earth. But see, then we have to say, well, rises up out of the earth instead of out of the sea. So there's the difference there. We have to determine what the difference is between the symbol of rising up out of the symbolic sea and rising up out of the symbolic earth. What's the difference there? Okay, but it still has to be what is determined and what has been revealed to us as a beast power by the scripture. So therefore, the determination of it being a priestly order of the apostate church, it doesn't qualify, because that priestly order was never a governing authority over a certain locality where it rose up in the earth. It was not that. It doesn't qualify by divine interpretation to be a beast. So let's continue here. Moving on. And because if there was a division in a beast, guess what? Number six, horns appear on a beast when there is a notable division of power. We learn this first from the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, from Daniel 8:20. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation. So we know that there is a division of power in a beast. It is represented by horns, not by dividing the beast into several beasts, because that's what our expositor that we were referring to on this website, where he changed his title but did not change the content of the thing, that's what he is saying. Yeah. But the scripture, I believe, excludes that. He can stick with it if he wants. You know, it's a free country, you know. But I believe, and the reason I'm not really going after him, but he claims to be a historicist, and I think we need to extricate as much error from historicism as possible so that we don't. We already got the Seventh-day Adventists, which are not historicists, neither are they Protestant or Reformed. And I have a post on my website that I title that the SDA Church is neither Reformed nor Protestant. So you can read about that. So we already got them out there giving us a black eye by claiming to be us. Okay? But this guy has a lot right, but he just has it in the wrong place. And then when people read it, they're going, this didn't work, you know? So we need to clean up our house here. If we're going to be historicists and not Seventh-day Adventists, then we have to clean up our house, okay? And get all of this non-unbiblical these theses that aren't supported by scripture and weeding them out, or saying, hey, this is my idea, this is what I think, this is my thesis, but not claiming it as the truth and the fact and rejecting everything else because of it. Now, if someone's going to reject my thesis, I want them to show me in the scripture that they can exclude it by scripture, which is exactly what I'm doing here, is excluding it by scripture. So we see that horns appear on a beast when there's a notable division of power. We learned this first, and I read all of that. So we have the examples. This is explicitly stated in the scripture. A beast doesn't divide into another beast. It divides first, like Greece, which had one notable horn. And the only reason it had one horn was because it was going to divide into four. Okay. So we see that divisions, the horn, if the beast never divides, well, it wouldn't have to note the horn. But because this beast divided later, they had to note that it was one horn to begin with, but divided into four. So we have rules for interpretation here. We have divine interpretation. How do we, when we get to Revelation, where none of these details are, this is where we find them. What we don't find by divine interpretation in the revelation itself, we can look into Daniel, which uses the same symbols. Okay, Revelation demonstrates the distinction between Roman beast empire and the false prophet, the blasphemous mouth it leads. Yeah, I believe you're right there. And here's the fact is, This author also believes, and I believe that that several of our expositors from history, historicists, even repeated this, that the earth beast is the false prophet. There's nothing in the text anywhere that supports that. This is a total assumption and presupposition or thesis that is unsupported by scripture. And this one is easy to settle, you know. If you have something that is false, well, the best way to expose it is by knowing that which is true. So if you want to know who the false prophet is, well, at first you have to discover who the true prophet is. And who is the true prophet? Okay, speaking of Israel, who was that prophet that Israel was waiting for? Well, when they spoke of that prophet, okay, with a definite article before it, that prophet, when they spoke of that prophet, they were speaking of the one spoken of by Moses. A prophet is going to rise up like me, he said. And that was the prophet that they were waiting for. And who was that prophet? Well, he was the true prophet when he was all alone by himself. You don't call something true if you're not looking at a false at the same time, or if a false doesn't rise up. You don't need to call it the true prophet until the false arises. Then you say, well, that one's false. Here's the true one. Okay. Before he was called the true prophet, he was called that prophet. And that prophet was the Messiah. The true prophet was Jesus. So the answer is easy as to who the false prophet is. The false prophet is another name for the man of sin, the Antichrist. That's who the false prophet is. He is the Antichrist. He is the antithesis of the true prophet. So that settles that right there. And that's what the scripture supports. And I just gave you the supports from Moses on down through history. And it's logical besides. And I love it when things are logical. You can't, that's much more supported by scripture and logic than trying to say that the false prophet is a beast. Because a false prophet is either an individual or a line of individuals. In this case, it's a line of individuals when it's the false prophet, as referred to in the Revelation chapter 19, as Mercury Falling brought up in the scripture there. Okay, that is the false prophet with a definite article. We have a false prophet mentioned in the epistles, I believe, or the Gospels, where it's an individual who is named as a false prophet. But this is the false prophet, which I believe is a line of men like the man of God is a line of men. You know, someone could refer to me as the man of God that lives on such and such a street or over there in the foothills. Or they could refer to you as the man of God because I see you always standing up for God. And you are a man of God. So that's who the false prophet is. He is the same as the Antichrist, where we put the definite article before Antichrist. It is the Antichrist, and or the man of sin. You know, there may be a man of sin here and there, but the man of sin is referring to a certain individual or a line of men. And I believe in the case of the scripture, it is that line of men, and that entire line of men is going to end, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Yes, as the scripture says there in chapter 19. Both. The false prophet and who else? I believe it's the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast. There you go. Are they separate individuals? Did I get that right? Tell me if I got it wrong. Anyway, I'm running out of time, but it's something to look at. Revelation 19:20. Let's look at it quickly here. Revelation 19:20. And I believe if I got that right. And the beast, okay, the beast was taken, the false prophet, and which deceived them. And these both were cast alive in the fire. And the beast and the false prophet are separate. The beast is not the false prophet. The false prophet is not a beast. He may be a man that controls the beast. He may be the mouth that little horn was speaking with blasphemy. Of course, the little horn representing the Vatican or Papal Rome. Okay. He may be the mouth of the beast speaking great things and blasphemies, that line of the man of sin, the false prophet. So the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles, and both were cast alive into the lake of fire. So the beast and the prophet and the false prophet are different. That's true. A beast is not a singular man. But, you know, like, say, if Joe Biden, the pretender in chief, speaks, well, they say America said. But it's the mouth of the beast that's speaking. And not the beast itself, but the mouth speaks for the beast. But the mouth, you know, the man is not the beast, you know. But he may control and represent the beast at some time or other, and there may be times when he does not. Okay? So, okay, well, let's see, what else do I have? So now we fast forward to the beast symbols that appear in the Revelation and the New Testament era, and we go to chapter 12, introduces a great red dragon. And this beast was different from all of the others, and something that occurred to me, a revelation of a sort. It had 10 horns, and this beast, the previous three were warm-blooded animals of the three of the four beast powers that rose up out of the sea, whereas this beast is cold-blooded. So there is a difference there. I was looking for differences because this beast is diverse. And so one of the ways it was diverse or different from the three that came before it is this one is cold-blooded. It's a dragon. It's a lizard. It's cold-blooded, whereas the other were warm-blooded beasts or animals. This beast is also the only one with multiple heads, and it devours the whole earth. So there are three differences. These others only devoured part of Western Europe, part of the kingdom, you know, almost the whole kingdom, but Rome rose up and devoured the entirety of Western Europe, and I believe the whole earth, literally and not just figuratively speaking of the Western Roman world, but the whole earth as it is today and as it now rules, was and is not. It rules vicariously through the image constructed by the seventh beast mentioned, the earth beast, the two-horned earth beast, which rises up. And what I'm going to do in my next book, the one, probably the last one that I'm going to write, is I'm going to do an exposition of all of the apocalyptic beast power scriptures throughout the whole Bible. And it's part of the work that I'm revealing to you today. Whoops, I think I accidentally hung up instead of answering that. Too close to the end, you have to call in sooner if that was anyone beside my ghost caller. So, yeah, it's too late. 10:55, we don't take any more calls. So I move on. So you get an idea of what I'm working on here, which I'm not going to post until it's completed, but I'm giving you a little preview. So we fast forward, we look at the chapter 12. So we're going to expose chapter 12, 13, the other instances where beast powers or anyone related to the beast, any mention of a beast text in Daniel or the Revelation or anywhere else in the scripture they're mentioned. And we're going to do an exposition of all of those together. And that's what my next book or work will be that I publish in my prophecy series that I'm doing. And it will be on apocalyptic beast symbols, Bible decoded, an exposition of all of apocalyptic beast symbol and related scriptures in one volume. And I think that's a work that needs to be done because it clears up a lot. If you have that information, then you know when something violates that divine interpretation, because that's where I'm going with this. We want to base everything we do on divine interpretation. If we don't, and we have a hypothesis, we can't base it on divine interpretation, then we say, this is hypothesis. I could be wrong, I could be right, and I'm willing to live with that, because I can't find anything in scripture to overthrow it or support it. In that case, it's only hypotheses. But if I can find a scripture to explicitly support it, then I know I've got divine interpretation on the side of my hypothesis. If I can find anything to overthrow it, then I throw it away and I say that doesn't work because the scripture excludes it. Okay, well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for joining me on this broadcast. You've been listening to my Prophecy Reality Edition. Please go to my website, nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org, and make sure you follow there. And as always, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.